Thank you, Dan. Worship team, great worship. Just in case I might open my mouth. I want to say thank you to the elders. I didn't know where that was heading. And boy, anyway. First off, it's Mother's Day. This is a particularly significant Mother's Day for me. In two ways. It's my first Mother's Day where my mother is in the presence of her Lord, and what a blessing. And secondly, it is my last Mother's Day to formally speak to you as lead pastor. My new role, the regional minister, who knows? Maybe I'll be coming and speaking to you on Mother's Day. It's hard to say, but I mean, you got to figure something out to get me here. Moms, we wanted to recognize how special you are today, and we wanted to give you a small token of our appreciation. And so we put together this video for you because it applies to you so well. And I'll need the lights
on. Mom, I'll be concerned with what my friends think of me. I'll need you to teach me that I only need God's approval.
I'll want what I want when I want it.
I'll want what I want when I want it. I'll need you to teach me to be a servant.
So I can love others.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll need you to show me how to learn from God's wisdom.
I'll act like I don't have any problems.
I need you to show me how to share my struggles with others.
I'll tend to think about myself before others.
I'll need you to teach me that the last will become first.
I'll have many reasons to hold grudges.
I'll need you to model forgiveness.
I want to have a lot of money so I can buy what I want.
I need you to teach me that my things belong to God.
I'll struggle with my looks and appearance.
I'll need you to remind me that God wonderfully made me.
I'll need you, Mom.
To point me toward Christ
when no one else will.
To you moms, we show our appreciation in saying Happy Mother's Day, right? Praise God for our moms. You are so valuable to Jesus because often you are the hands, the feet, you provide the nurture, and so you are valuable. But what is valuable to you? Where is it that you find the comfort and the contentment? What do you value? Value money? You value material possessions? Fame? How about your family? Your church? People? See, you took 5 minutes a day this past week as the loved one of the project to just listen. To not talk. Not come with the list you want before God. You just came to Him and listened. Did you discover anything in that moment? Did God speak to your heart about who you are? It's in this longing, this mix of world pleasure and God-filled grace that we find what we're talking about today. Value. What do you value? I value preaching. Just so you don't get it wrong, this isn't my last Sunday preaching, so don't be panicking. I know it's a lot of you went, well, this is the last one? No. Don't panic about that. That will come soon. But I value coming up here preaching. I value using my gift for the glory of God, being the poet, putting thoughts into words. I value that. I do. I value the elders of this church, the leadership of this church. And I need to say, I love where we're going today, but we're focusing in on what appears to be a very insignificant person who added such value everywhere he went, one of the disciples of Jesus. I invite you to turn to John chapter 12. We're going to jump to chapter 6, but John chapter 12. I invite you to turn there because I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But as you turn there, I want to talk to you just for a moment. I want to share a story with you that I realized a long time ago that my job as a pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And one area of understanding that is, in order to do that, is discovering value in people. Valuing people. People need to know and understand how valuable they are to God. And that's why I really have enjoyed being a pastor. I love being a pastor. And, you know, my dad, I got to share this story because it came to me, and you, bear with me. It's a great story. My father, George, and my mother, Mabel, one day decided to go and look at trailers, okay? And I remember I remember having this conversation about my dad saying how God values people and how valuable people are. And he said, on the way to the trailer, he said, now, listen, you all need to know how valuable people are. And I really value people, anybody I meet. So when we get there, he says, I just want to make sure, because the first words out of your mouth are very important. My dad said, they're very important. The first words that you say to a person are very important. In fact, they're the most critical words. People need to know how much you care, you know, because they don't care about you until they know how much you care. So he said, just, you got to watch me. Remember, those words, those first words are the most important. And watch what I do. Learn from me. So we traveled to the travel land trailers in Regina, and we arrived, and my dad, you know, makes a great impression, always. Said to the rest of you, know, watch this. I'm going to seek out a salesman. I'm going to go find him. I'm going to get to know him better. So a salesman walked over to us, and I could see Dad, you know, he's setting himself up. He's getting ready for this pitch that he was going to do to show value to this guy. And the guy goes, hi, I'm Doug. How are you all today? And my dad, stretching out his right hand, said to the fellow, he said, great to meet you, Doug. My name is Mabel. This is my wife, George, and the rest of my family. We laughed hysterically. The young salesman turned and walked away in tears because he was laughing so hard. And we made our way back to the vehicles and sat in. And I said to my dad, you always know how to make a really good first impression, don't you, Dad? Today we're going to discover value. I want to look at a person who showed such a servant heart. And to have such a heart, you really need to know how valuable you are. We know mothers are valuable. We know that. The world knows that. But how valuable you are. I mean, I was thinking about mothers and then fathers, which moved me into parents. And ultimately, the thought of the church family. How we're all valuable to raising and assisting each other and beyond. I could not think of a better biblical model than the life of the disciple Andrew. I began to think about somebody who was a servant, somebody who did ministry. It wasn't up front. It was always behind. He kept it going. Somebody who didn't sing the solo, didn't preach the message, but did ministry week in and week out. And I look at Andrew, and I began to get inspired. I just want to look at his life today. And so I had you turn to John chapter 12, and it's a great passage. And may we discover, we have a lot of Andrews here at First, by the way. An awful lot of Andrews who are just like Andrew. And may we discover our value today as we note Andrew's living here as we look at John chapter 12. Look at this. Beginning of verse 20 of John chapter 12. I love this. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. And Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Now, I love that. I want you to flip over for a moment to John chapter 6. Because I want you to see something else here. John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. By the way, his disciples were not perfect people. They were rough around the edges like most of us. If you think you're perfect, you got a problem. The Jewish Passover feast was near, and when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves, 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" It's the feeding of 5,000. I invite you to turn to John chapter 1, because it is here we're introduced to Andrew. John chapter 1, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Andrew always found value in someone. You see, this is how you discover value, and this is what is really valuable to God. You discover value in people. If you want to discover value, you start looking at people differently. You start looking at people like God does. If you have a problem with people, you pray that God removes your problem. Start looking at people as someone God may want in your life. Because everywhere you find Andrew in the Gospels, you find him just pouring his life into somebody else's. The first thing that Andrew did, as we're introduced to him in John chapter 1, he went and he found his brother to tell him he found the Messiah. What a beautiful example. He goes behind the scenes. He goes out. He gets his brother. And he brings his brother to Jesus. Now, maybe there are some people right now whom you know you need to bring to Jesus. And we read in John 12 where the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. They came to Philip and they recognized Philip as one of the disciples. They knew who he was. And they come to him because he was Greek. And the first thing that Philip did, instead of taking the Greeks to see Jesus, was to find Andrew. And Andrew took the Greeks to see Jesus. Andrew was the one who found the kid with the fish and the loaves. Andrew was always finding people. And he was finding value in them. He was always pouring his life into people because he understood the value of the individual. I mean, you see, giving your life away takes time, but it's worth the cost. It takes more than one person, and that's why God needs you to value people too. Not for personal gain, just because. Dr. John Maxwell, my mentor in leadership, he does a tremendous job of remembering names. He always gets names. I got to tell you, he takes a day in his schedule and he walks through each person. He prays for them, gets to know their names. And there's this young, at heart lady named Alma. She's in her 80s and she came on a Sunday morning and she walked through the door of the church. She came through on the second Sunday, her visiting there. And Dr. Maxwell went over to her and he said, "Hi, Alma. Good to see you." She was there in the lobby. Big old tears began to flow. And Marjorie, another lady visiting for the second time. And Maxwell walked over to her and said, "Marjorie, it's good to see you. Where's your husband, Dick?" She started jumping up and down. Dick happened to be behind her. And she said, "You remembered our names. You remembered our names. I won. I bet $10 that you would remember our names. And I won." And Maxwell turned to her and said, "Come over here, Dick. Is this true?" "Well, go on, give her the $10 if that's true. Give her the..." So he reaches, and he says, he got the $10, gave it to her. And Dr. Maxwell went to her and he said, "All right, Marjorie, we teach tithing in our church. I'll take $1. True story. In God's sight, people count. It doesn't matter about the size of church we minister in. It doesn't matter what growth programs we have. What matters to God is people. And he values every single one of you. If we ever lose sight of the significance of even one person, we have lost what is most valuable to God. We've lost it. And so Andrew, the behind-the-scenes ministry, that's what he's doing. Now, this is really where servanthood begins. I mean, can you picture with me for just a moment the story we just looked at in John chapter 1? The first time that we see Andrew, when he finds Jesus, he goes and he finds his brother Petey. Goes and finds Pete. Now, that's significance that Andrew brought Pete to Jesus, because Andrew understood that he would never be one of the top disciples when Peter came on the scene. I mean, these two guys grew up together. Pete was the charismatic one. He was the leader. Peter was the strong one. I mean, the two of them went anywhere. Peter was the one everybody noticed. They always saw him. Everybody followed Pete. He was the leader. No question about it. And Andy, no doubt, he lived in the shadow of his brother. Ever lived in the shadow of somebody? And what does he do? He says, I still want to be in the shadow. I better go get my brother. What a heart for God. It's okay. I don't have to be up front. I don't have to be in the inner circle. I don't have to sing the song. I don't have to preach the message. I don't have to teach the lesson. I don't have to have the attention. It's okay if people don't see me. That's servanthood. I want you to know something. Here at First, there are many, many Andrews who day in, day out, do the gritty, back behind the scenes ministry. And it's because of them that we sit here today to worship God. They're doing it for God because they love God. They're not doing it for applause. They don't want to be noticed. They're not doing it for recognition. They're not doing it for praise. They're doing it because they love God. I came across this great thought, and it makes sense that I read it. By the time the Lord made mothers, he was into his sixth day of working overtime. An angel appeared and said, why are you spending so much time on this one? And the Lord answered and said, have you seen the spec sheet on her? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 200 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that can hold 3 children at one time and that disappears when she stands up. Have a kiss that can cure anything from a scraped knee to a broken heart, and have 6 pairs of hands. The angel was astounded at the requirements for this one. 6 pairs of hands, no way, said the angel. Lord replied, oh, it's not the hands that are the problem. It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers must have. The angel, shocked, asked, and that's just on the standard model? And the Lord nodded in agreement, yep. 1 pair of eyes to see through the closed door as she asks her children what they're doing, even though she already knows. Another pair in the back of her head are to see what she needs to know, even though no one thinks she can. And the 3rd pair are here in the front of her head. They're looking for an errant child and saying that she understands and loves him or her without even saying a single word. The angel tried to stop the Lord. This is too much work for one day. Wait until tomorrow to finish. But I can't, the Lord protested. I'm so close to finishing this creation that is so close to my own heart. She already heals herself when she's sick and can feed a family of 6 on a pound of hamburger and get a 9-year-old to stand in the shower. The angel moved closer and touched the woman. Ooh, but you made her so soft, Lord. She is so soft, the Lord agreed. But I've also made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish. Well, will she be able to think? Asked the angel. The Lord replied, not only will she be able to think, she'll be able to reason and negotiate. The angel then noticed something and reached out and touched the woman's cheek. Oops, looks like you have a leak with this model. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this one. Well, that's not a leak, the Lord objected. That's a tear. What's the tear for? Asked the angel. The Lord said the tear is her way of expressing her joy, her sorrow, her disappointment, her pain, her loneliness, her grief, and her pride. You see, to me, that explains the servant heart better than I could ever say. What kind of heart have you? I think Andrew's teaching us to take God and his kingdom seriously. find out what our gifts are, be who we are, and uniquely use those gifts where we are. That's when you discover value. You discover value in people, but you also discover value in serving. The feeding of the 5,000, remember? Andrew finds this boy, a few loaves, a few fish. The Lord feeds 5,000 from simply those few loaves and fish. God doesn't need us. It's not like God holds his breath and goes, "Ooh, I hope I can find somebody else. What am I going to do?" I don't think God does that. I don't think he holds his breath every time we get on a plane or drive in a car. "Oh, I hope they make it. Oh. God wants to partner with me because he wants me to grow closer to him. It's for me. It's not for him. When we talk about doing ministry, so many times they think, "Well, I'm doing this for the church. I'm doing this for God." No, no, no. See, you grow through the word of God. You grow through the fellowship like this, and you grow through the ministry. And often churches, it's very easy for people to grow in potlucks. Just saying, you know. But we grow through the word, through fellowship, through ministry. I'm reminded of Edith Rozelle. She was 90 years old. She came and saw me, and she talked with me, and she said, "I've prayed that God would just take me home. How come he's taking even my Sunday school children that I taught? And I'm still here." And I said, "Well, pray and ask God that question. I don't know. I'm not God." And a week later, dear old Edith came to see me, and she said, "Pastor, I want to start baking cookies for people who need a treat. How about new visitors?" And then she said, "I also want to make phone calls, you know, those you can't get around to see. I want to visit them." And she was turning around to leave, and I said, "Edith, what happened?" She said, "Well, I prayed, like you said, and asked God why he'd not taken me home yet. And he said, I got some more ministry to do, and I want to get it done, because I'm going to go home." Edith led many people to Christ at the age of 90 through a heart of being an Andrew. You know, but we often trap ourselves somehow. Trap ourselves. We get ourselves stuck, and we think there's no way out. We're like these contractors. They're installing steel pillars in concrete to stop vehicles from parking on the pavement outside a place downtown. And they're now in the process of cleaning up at the end of the day, and they're anxious to get home. Can you show this slide for me, please? They're there. How are they going to get out? They're going to make it. You know, how long do you think it'll be before they realize where they parked their truck? See, maybe that's where you are today. You've cemented yourself in. You've barricaded yourself because it seems safer. You think you're doing the right thing. You're putting up these poles. But you're stuck. And you think, "Man, I can't do anything." Yes, you can. What are you going to do with what God has given you? Do you have a ministry? You see, I'm not saying that you need to be an evangelist, or I'm not saying things. Please don't hear things that I'm not saying. I'm saying that God values you enough to use you to say you are important to him. The question is, are you going to use what he's given you for his glory? Let's pray. Lord, you are awesome. You love us. Boy, do you love us. But God, as we walk through today, maybe there's some here who just realize that either they are Andrew, or maybe there's some here who want to be like Andrew. Maybe they're caught in the other stream of things that isn't really glorifying to you. Maybe, God, we're caught in glorifying ourselves. Lord, mothers are sitting here today, and I pray that they would even see their value. They're so valuable. Valuable to nurturing their children. God, you've brought them here to hear this today. that they, like Andrew, in so many ways, come alongside and lead people to you. They lead their children to you. God, I'm going to ask you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe God is speaking to you today in a way that says, okay, it's time. I'm done with this. I just got to be me. And I've been pretending for so long, it's time for me to be me and be like Andrew. If I'm not up front, I need to be behind, and I need to start doing some ministry. I need to start serving in some way, and I don't know what that is, but God does know. And maybe you need to talk to him about it and say, what is it, God? Show me, because I don't have a clue. God, don't let us walk out of here with a warm fuzzy. Help us to become like Andrew, pulling people to you, finding people to bring to you. If we're not finding our spiritual gift, God, if we're not part of a team maybe in this church, help us to get on it. Help us to join hands and do something besides sit, because you love us, God. You sure love us. And you sure went out of your way to make a difference in our life. May your grace attend our way, and may we, God, do more than talk about loving you. May we really love you. May we back up our talk with our walk. God bless those moms sitting here today. May they know that you are celebrating with them, because they're so valuable. Bless them today. Lord, we pray for those of us who are not mothers. Lord, we pray that in some way you would use us to touch people, like you used Andrew. May we also understand that we're rough around the edges. We're not perfect. And oh God, we praise you that we're not perfect, because then that means we have to depend on you more. God, thank you for the leadership of this church, for the elders. God, thank you for these people who sit here week to week. Those who are new today, God, thank you for them. May they know they're important and valuable. Each and every one. To you be the glory and the honor. Forever and ever. Amen.